Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
You went too far this time, Mariner.
You told her all sorts of terrible, out of context.
I have context.
When are you gonna grow up, Beckett? You have absolutely no concept of when to shut your mouth.
Don't talk to me like I'm 15. I'm a Starfleet officer and an essential part of your crew.
Not anymore.
What is that supposed to mean?
Captain, what are you doing?
Oh, you want to backstab, complain, and be hard to work with? Well, there's a place for people like that. It's called Starbase 80.
Starbase 80?
What about it?
I've already put through the transfer. Shuttle's on the way.
Mom, is this a joke? Where's the hover cam?
Does it look like I'm joking? I want you off of my ship before we get to Brekka so you don't cause any more damage.
Oh my God, you're not kidding, Mom. Please.
You are no longer my ensign or my problem. I don't even know if I can call you my daughter anymore. Dismissed.
Oogie boogie boogie.
Oogie boogie.
What's going on?
Frumpy.
You're frumpy.
A flumpy.
You guys.
Triddly.
You're schmoopy.
Okay.
Let's
start the podcast.
Okay.
Why?
What?
What?
Because that's how it works.
So
okay. I'm not gonna be silly at all this week. I've got no sillies this
okay.
week.
Okay.
All right, Dan is shaking all the sillies.
Can
out.
I take,
no, this week has worn me down, and I'm no longer care.
Can
so.
I take your sillies?
Yeah, I don't have any to
you
give.
You don't have any to give.
Oh,
I've been worn down by life this week, so no sillies.
All right.
That's a shame.
It's an exciting opening to the podcast.
It's disheartening.
All right, Dan is in a malaise.
No.
How about you, Jesse?
I'm in no such malaise.
I'm just kidding. I love things, and things are really fun right now.
All right. Okay.
I'm just kidding.
What did you think about this episode?
Yeah. Well, okay.
I am just kidding.
All right. So
maybe we should.
Jesse,
introduce.
You're getting ahead of everything. Dan's in a malaise, and Jesse.
I'm trying to get things rolling.
You're just trying to move on beyond my depression. Is that what's going on?
I'm trying to maybe give you something to work with. So.
You're trying to pretend it doesn't exist.
No.
Well, how about this? How about we use this podcast?
No, it's just, everything's
as
okay.
Opportunity for fun.
Yeah.
Fun time.
I'm giving you a fun opportunity.
It's got
I was,
fun. The
I was,
it's got fun
I was
podcast.
Being ironic. That I was being ironic, right?
I should hope you weren't, because you were not indeed being ironic. So
no,
you
I
perceive
was.
That you were being ironic.
No, I was being ironic. I was being
Were you being sardonic?
No, I was saying like, I'm not having fun. Everything sucks.
But the problem is it does sound like you're not having fun and that you think everything sucks.
Right. And that's a form of irony, how things are versus how they should be.
I think you can
there's probably
made a
better,
good argument.
But there's better words. You're right, though. There's better words to describe it.
I think you're right. Okay, let's let's do the business.
The thing about joking is you have to like give the audience a clue that you're joking somehow, and that's the trick to being
the audience and your co-host.
And that's the trick to being funny is you have to give a clue that you're joking without hitting them over the head with it. Because if you hit them over the head, it's like that's not funny. And if you're not giving them a clue, they're like, "Are you really in a bad place? Do we need to be worried?" And that's not funny either.
But
so,
yeah, because we're not doing a video. Podcast, so you know any
they can't see your goofy face.
any wrinkled brows or quirky eyebrows that you might be throwing around to indicate humor are not coming across the audio format.
But that guy, he's totally joking.
Okay, so let's get the important business out of the way first. Important business number one. This is the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Welcome to it. As an audience member, a member of a
155
international audience.
What's 155?
The number of podcast.
He's referring. This is episode number 155 of the podcast.
Yes,
we've done technically more episodes because we have a bunch of bonus episodes floating around out there.
Do we still have bonus?
Oh, there's bonus episodes, but we don't count them in the main number.
Really?
So we have north of 155, but this is episode number.
Check that out.
North of 155. It's like 156.
No, there's more than that. There's more than one bonus episode. I just can't recall precisely how many.
Are you sure?
All right. So this It's Got Star Trek podcast. The audience has been welcomed, so we can check that out.
Hey, guys.
Welcome.
We are discussing Lower Decks Season and 3, Episode 9. The penultimate episode of the third season.
Penultimate.
And what was this called? Truth Social?
Sources.
Trusted Sources. Yes.
No, it's called The Trusted Sources.
No, no. Dan? Dan? No.
I was doing
a callback to his occasional.
That was a few episodes ago.
Occasional habit of adding the article "the" to an episode title that does not include it.
He's a middle-aged white fellow.
So he's just.
I don't call it Best Buy. I call it Best Buys.
The Best Buys.
So
now is that with or without an apostrophe?
Do you shop at Safeways?
Safeway.
Trusted sources, right?
Yes.
Am I right? Okay. Yeah. Trusted sources.
All right.
So in order to have some small amount of structure this week, I thought we'd give something a try here.
Oh no, what's going on? You didn't tell me about this. I don't handle improvisation well.
Let's check it out.
I forgot.
Did you say this sounds hot?
I did.
Okay. I forgot to mention. I don't think this will be controversial. I mean, forgive me if I'm being presumptuous. We'll find out.
You know I don't deal with change well.
There's not really any change.
Of all weeks that you could pick to do this, you'd have to pick this one.
Why?
The week of the malaise. The October malaise that sets in.
Oh, man.
Have you been taking your vitamin D?
No, I guess vitamin I should.
D. You should be pumping some vitamin D now. It's getting dark out there.
I should probably get B12 too.
Get the vitamin D. Get the B12. Get you some zinc up in that butt.
When I was
Coca-Cola, Coke or cola.
Some sugars.
When I was really young, I used to think that the closer to the beginning of the alphabet the vitamin was, the better it was for you. So like vitamin C is
vitamin
better
A
for you.
Will destroy your liver.
Vitamin C is better for you than vitamin D. And
if
vitamin
you take too
B,
much vitamin A, I think your liver just shuts down and dies.
And if you have vitamin A, that's the best one of all.
That's not one you usually have to take because can just get it normally. Right?
You don't want to be. That's why. That's also why you shouldn't eat carnivore livers.
Right.
Right. This is not. This is made popularly not known, perhaps, but. You can eat herbivore livers, but carnivore livers are very high in vitamin A, and that can be dangerous for your own liver.
Well, then
are
you
people
be
eating like wolf liver?
You oughtn't. Bear liver? You shouldn't be eating. I would very much dissuade people from eating wolf liver. And now I will caveat this by pointing out that I don't know what the fuck
who
I'm
does
talking
that.
About.
Well,
but you can look it up. and I'm pretty sure wolf liver, that's an out. I think polar bears out. Black bear is mostly eating berries and nuts and things like that.
Oh yeah, black bear.
You can't say berry without saying bear. Bugs Bunny probably has some issues because there's like more than your daily recommended dose of vitamin A in your average bunch of carrots or even a carrot. Even a big old carrot probably has more vitamin A than your recommended.
The vitamin A, we apologize, Star Trek fans. We will get back to the Star Trek momentarily.
It's got vitamin A.
No, the vitamin A, I don't believe that it is in the carrots. I believe the carrots have the beta carotene, which is converted by your body into vitamin A. Now, I could have that wrong as well, because as I mentioned in the previous caveat, I do not know what the fuck I'm talking about.
Yeah, right.
He's not a doctor.
All I see is that the nutritional info says vitamin A,
your
lots
specialty
of carrots.
Is in
vitamin A.
I think
A
it's I'm suggesting it's precursor elements, but I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, okay?
The thing is people won't remember you saying you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. They'll just start saying, you know, I heard on It's Got Star Trek podcast.
People should not be getting, I mean, I was about to say any information other than Star Trek information. It is debatable whether they should be getting Star Trek information from this podcast.
Although
either.
Carrots are low in calories and full of important nutrients, it's possible to eat It is possible to eat to experience. This is very poorly worded on WebMD. Listen to this sentence. Although carrots are low in calories and full of important nutrients, it is possible to eat to experience negative health effects from eating too many carrots.
Whoa,
what?
No.
In a famous case.
That's an error.
I don't hear that as English.
In the famous case, a 48-year-old sought medical attention after his skin turned yellow and he experienced abdominal pain. He was diagnosed with constipation, hyperkeratinemia.
Oh, yeah, because
no.
He had too many carrots.
And possible
vitamin.
Oh my God! And possible vitamin A toxicity.
Oh shit!
There, yeah. That's all I was saying.
Yeah.
Anyways,
that's why you should never eat too many
carrots. Doesn't answer the question, but it is an
interesting
anecdote.
No, but it gets to the point of saying, like,
either way, functionally,
no, it doesn't answer the question.
Problem.
No, it doesn't answer the question because you said too much vitamin A is bad. And I'm like saying, like, yes, Bugs Bunny probably has issues.
Exactly.
Too many.
It answers.
And
Mel
Blanc didn't like carrots, and he did the voice of Bugs Bunny. They tried to have him do it with celery, but celery didn't sound like carrots. So he actually had a bucket next to him.
Fuck celery.
When he had a bucket next to him, when Bugs Bunny eats carrots, Mel Blanc would eat the carrot and spit him back into the bucket.
Celery is an abomination.
All right, how about this? Let's get to the Star Trek bits.
Do they call it? Do they call it carrots because of hypercarotene or whatever?
No, they call it hyperkeratosis or what, a keratimina. Because of the carrot. And you're distracting me. This is a trick.
You started it.
No, this is one of those tricks. Dan in his malaise, he's like, I know. You know what I'm going to do?
You're tricking me, Glavis.
I'm going to get the Star Trek podcast and not talk about fucking Star Trek.
I'm going to have a malaise and catch them all off guard, and then I'm going to start getting wacky about carrots.
The problem with the term malaise, to me is it sounds like a super tasty, tangy French sauce of some sort.
Yeah, it
sounds like mayonnaise.
You know? Yeah. Can I get my egg? Can I get some eggs malaise?
It's like how you. It's like when you want dessert steak, you have it with a malaise sauce.
Yeah, dessert steak. Something I hadn't considered until just now.
Malaise sauce.
Star Trek. Truth and consequences. Truth. True sources. Trusted sources.
This,
there we go.
I thought this was a kind of a weird episode.
Okay, hold on. Hold on.
Oh,
this is the second time he told you to hold on, Jesse.
I'm trying to get to the podcast. No.
Yeah, I know. Jesse is really trying to stay on course here.
Okay, but I had this whole thing.
Oh, wait, Patrick has a whole thing.
I had this whole thing.
Well, you started with the vitamin A and the carrots.
It's been a whole thing.
Okay, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Know.
Let's
okay.
go on.
All I was saying was.
It's my fault. Just my failure as your failure as a son is my failure as a father.
That is not the structure of our relationship.
That's not.
That was a line from Gladiator with Russell Crowe and Joaquin Phoenix.
With Russell Crowe?
Brussels sprouts.
Okay.
That's quite a movie.
What I've done is I've written down sort of 16 key topics
busy
from this episode.
Oh, boy.
And I thought to give some sort of structure,
yeah, it sounds fun.
We could randomly select, and you could roll one of these D20s.
Oh, my gosh.
And then we could talk about that subject.
Wow.
Right?
Where are the D20s?
I got one right here. You want me to... Here, hold on. I'll get up and give it to you.
Can I get one of them green ones?
Do you have any ones that are, like, wrapped in like, chocolate inside?
Well, I mean, it's a fucking... Like, how
word.
Many
do any of these have chocolate inside?
No.
Why not?
I don't know. What are you guys talking about?
Because it's not for eating. It's for...
But it could be.
I mean, you're demanding a specific...
It's for determining mechanics.
D20. Well, I mean, you could use it as both.
Okay, anyway. There's D20... There's 16 things listed, so I guess if you roll like a 17 through 20, then you gotta come up with your own topic. All right, Jesse, you roll first.
I got a 12.
12. Okay, 12.
It's got 12. Something brown on it.
Starbase 80.
That's our new podcast. It's got something brown on it.
Starbase 80. I don't know. This is totally going to be discombobulated, but I'm entertained by
okay.
this.
Oh, man.
Starbase 80.
What's the deal with Starbase 80?
What's the deal? Well, Starbase 80.
There was a bat loose, and they're like,
a bat
hit
left?
It with a broom.
There's
and
a bat loose
like,
and a bat
I tried
left.
To, but it didn't care.
Yeah, right. It didn't care. That whole sequence, it seems like it was written by
I
just
did
some.
That. It didn't care.
That whole sequence felt like it was written by just some random person. Some random like comedian off
yeah,
the street.
I know.
Because
it's totally like...
It was awesome because it ends with like the broom like getting in the face. It's like, hey, hit the bat. It was a Prithian bat.
Yeah, which was from isn't that from A Night in Sick Bay when Captain Marcher is spending the night because his dog is sick and that
yeah,
it
we wasn't talk about that.
I think that was a Pyrithian bat that they were chasing
I think
around
you might be,
in there.
I think you might be right. But that's not to be mistaken with pyrethrins, which are pesticides found naturally in some chrysanthemum flowers.
Really?
You mean in real life?
And they're not to be
or
mistaken.
In Star Trek life.
And in real life.
Because I get confused sometimes when the technobabble of real life intervenes.
No, pyrethrins is a real life a mixture of six chemicals that are toxic to insects. But it's also not to be mistaken with pyrethione zinc, which is an antibacterial, antimicrobial, and antifungal that has seborrheic it's to treat seborrheic dermatitis, otherwise known as dandruff.
All right, so you're getting to the dandruff. I was wondering about that, because in terms of the amount of information, we could constrain that a little.
Seborrheic dermatitis
is Starbase 80 like the landfill Starbase? Is it just like where they put the garbage? Is that what the deal is?
I'm intrigued by this because they've mentioned Starbase 80.
Those guys lost that sandwich.
Yeah, he lost that sandwich. It's had mustard or something all over it.
Mustard-colored uniforms. But they've mentioned Starbase 80 a few times now.
But nobody wants to talk about it.
Yeah, and I'm a little split in terms of, like, I've known that they've had to, at some point, we have to learn more about Starbase 80. And presumably, maybe we'll end up there at some point or another. Mariner's not there, so I don't know if we have any reason to go there, say, in the next episode, for example. So, but part of me kind of likes Starbase 80 being purely abstract. Mm. And now we've, learned a little bit more.
Right.
And even though it was funny, I thought it was funny that you had what were, coded as stoner type trash men. I don't know. It was entertaining. Now we know a little bit more.
Right.
What makes Starbase 80 so lame.
Yeah, they don't need to talk about it anymore next episode, really, unless it's something completely unrelated somehow. But it's there's no reason it has to be any more a part of this plot. Because, what makes it funny is that they're sort of giving sideways winks to it or whatever, sort of little glances. It's like, hey, remember that Starbase 80? It's like, oh no, everything we hear about this place does suck.
But it's not that you imagine that something extra terrible that goes on there, or it's a super bad assignment because it's, I don't know, dangerous, mm-hmm. or it's way out in the middle of nowhere and nothing happens.
Their ships are all dirty.
But yeah, it's super boring was the other thing I was thinking.
It's super dirty and they have wildlife running around and there's a bunch of doofuses that work there.
Right. So what do they do there?
So when you're just oh my God, I have to resign from Starfleet because this is terrible. that's why it's terrible.
I want to find out that they actually do some super secret undercover
stuff. It's not
stuff.
Not haunted. It doesn't have
like Impact Nor.
Yeah, it doesn't have weird. There's nothing weird happening there. It's just disgusting and annoying.
The reveal is that those guys are actually secret agents or something. No, probably.
Yeah, maybe it's Section 31.
Yeah, that's where William Boimler is hanging out. Mm-hmm. At Starbase 80.
Starbase 80.
Yeah, they could hide there. I could see that happening at some point.
I could see it.
It would be useful.
I could see it happening.
Okay, do we have anything else to talk about?
Starbase 80. Did we cover that topic? All right, we covered that topic. All right, Dan.
Are you gonna roll?
Dan, is your roll.
Roll him.
You gotta roll with the
homies.
Is
there any chocolate? Where's the chocolate?
I think it's on the die.
I'm not familiar with D20s that come with chocolate inside.
Well. I got an infinity symbol.
No.
No, that's an 8.
Oh, that's an 8.
Dan the Alchemist.
All right, let's look at the list. The let's look at the list. We're loading up the list, and number 8 is Admiral Buenamigo.
Buenamigo.
Suspicious
or
not?
The deal with that guy?
I think he's a shady motherfucker.
Well,
got that miniature Alamo behind him.
I think
he likes Texas.
I think the introduction of this the Texas class is the Alito is the Texas class. I think there's something shady about that fully automated ship. I mean,
absolutely.
It at minimum has dangerous implications of people losing their jobs. Of course,
this topic is Admiral Buenamigo, not the automated ships, which is a separate topic.
Oh shit! God damn it! I guess I went outside the line.
Discuss Admiral Buenamigo.
Times,
I don't like
right?
this
outside of the context. Of the robotic ships.
God damn.
He's Mariner's uncle, or at least she calls him her uncle.
I feel like
this format's really constraining me and making me itch or something.
To the audience, Dan is actually scratching himself. Vigorously scratching himself in a non-performative way.
Yeah, because I mean, this isn't what we do. We're doing something different than what we do.
Well, it's It's a change of...
But, okay,
Scott Star Trek!
Okay, fine, fine, fine. But let me just... Okay, before we move on and not and we don't talk about the Texas class, I think that it relates because you're saying, is this guy shady or not? And I'm saying, well, he seems shady, yes. Especially paired with the Texas class stuff, which I guess we can talk about later.
Well, I'm just saying that there is a vibe about this guy, and I think it's...
And his name is Buen Amigo, well, like good friend, of
he's
course.
He's an admiral.
His name is Good Friend, which means he's probably like, you know...
A bad friend.
He's a bad friend. Right. He's a mal amigo.
He's an old friend of the family, presumably. I think that's been the implication from his prior appearance. It's
just because the other guy's an admiral.
Mariner's
dad. Or something.
Yeah, and also he's an admiral, which in Star Trek makes him shady by default.
Exactly.
They're not all badmirals, but there are.
You say badmirals?
Yeah,
mostly,
that's the term for the Star Trek bad
admirals.
They're
mostly shady. They're mostly shady.
They're mostly shady. He comes across as a bit shady. Very weirdly on point here, you know, he talked about this ship, the Alito, going through its sea trials. So one presumption, one thing you could say is that he set this all up. He knew the Breen were going to be there, and he was setting up Captain Freeman to get whatever, you know, because he was right there.
So like, he can demonstrate the, you know, the Texas class.
Yeah, because he's trying to, like, the way it's presented, I don't know if this is just my DC mindset, but, you know, everyone's got their angle in, like, terms of selling their weapons and stuff. He seemed to be the kind of guy who's like, this is my project. I'm into this project working. I happen to have this ship come and save the day.
Hey, you're talking about the Alito. I was talking about the Alito.
I'm talking about the Admiral's plans.
That's what I was talking about.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to talk about something else about the ships more specific to their technology.
Oh, well.
I'm just talking about, like, the fact.
That's crazy.
I know we're threading a ridiculous and arbitrary needle here, Dan. I understand that. That's part of the fun. That's part of the fun.
That's part of the fun.
But what I'm saying is, right, is to me it seems like they're setting up at least the potential that he is doing something shady, that he did not, the Alito did not just happen to be like, oh, I'm ready to go. He was right there ready to go, and he's like, once those things show up, I'm going to fucking blow them out of the sky. He wouldn't have had to have that ship there to test it and prove it in front of a fucking reporter that he selected.
Exactly.
Right? So he selected the reporter to go on the ship.
Because the captain's all like, what just happened?
Yeah.
Like,
so he got the reporter videotaping the robot ship saving the day.
And he was basically, and he said that, we weren't planning to show it, but I guess here it is. And he didn't seem too stressed about that fact. What I was saying was that, yeah, the Titan comes out, the Alito comes out, the Texas class.
But it was like the Titan. It did pull like a Titan, and then, you know, the Cerritos did the same thing.
And what I was saying, that how that related.
Last minute rescue.
A smaller ship.
How that related to him was saying that, this brings up questions about people losing their jobs, which I'm not going to, I mean, things happen the way they happen. So let's not, we're not going to
get into more details about it. But then
at best it talks about like computers, you know, well, what if it gets hacked and it causes a problem? And then we got this rogue ship running around shooting everyone. But at worst, it's like, yeah, it's what you just said, which was Buen Amigo is basically using this as an opportunity to push his weapons. That's what I was going to say.
And it doesn't mean that he's necessarily a quote-unquote bad guy, as in he's trying to undermine the Federation or something, although that's possible too. It could just be as simple as he's just trying to advance his career, and he's doing it using shady means,
and maybe,
it's an old story.
And maybe what does happen is maybe at some point, I don't know, it's possible that the Alito could get like taken over by the Breen or something. They learn how to take it over and it could go rogue
could
or something like that. So maybe Buen Amigo is basically innocent. He's being shady, but he's not being evil. He's just being shady pushing his own tech. But what happens as a result is somehow it gets taken out of hand and gets fucked up.
The usual thing, that's like the Pegasus storyline, right? Where, you know, the Pegasus was the Federation illegally doing cloaking and phasing technology and with dangerous results, you know, that sort of thing.
It's sort of odd that this is some kind of new thing because, I mean, we have automated weapon systems now.
It is funny, but they don't have the internet and they don't have like...
Right, right.
You know?
I mean, okay.
There's things they don't have.
The fundamentals of Star Trek were conceived before like we got to the moon. Yeah. Before there was the Voyager program. Like,
1966.
Before most of like space exploration.
Well, it was produced in 1965.
We were
the first pilot in 1964.
We were launching satellites and, you know, doing stuff, but we didn't get out you know, to the solar system yet.
Are we ready for the next topic?
Yeah, who's rolling?
All right, you can roll, Jesse.
Oh, I already rolled.
Yeah.
Didn't get any chocolate.
11?
11! All right, let's see. What topic is 11?
11.
Ooh, oh, good.
Elf.
Migley Moo and his mother.
Meemaw.
Freeman, Dr. Migley Moo.
Freeman knows who Meemaw is.
I love that.
I know, because yeah. She just walked in. She was like, Meemaw. Like, Meemaw.
And
no question. It was Meemaw. She knew Meemaw.
Dr. Migley Moo's mom was all doing, she was doing some like cross stitch.
Knitting or cross
Migley stitch? Moo's
I think she was
Meemaw.
Doing cross stitch.
Oh, word.
There was that bird family from that different group of birds from the Aurelians
right.
or whatever. They, that they were, she, that bird woman was knitting.
Bird woman.
Yes.
Knitting. Migley Moo's Meemaw. Migley Moo's Meemaw. Migley Moo's Meemaw.
He had the con.
He was so excited to have the con. And I love Paul F. Tompkins. Because
when did he ever get it before that?
Yeah, Paul F. Tompkins is the voice of Dr. Migley Moo. And the character is some, I just really have enjoyed this character as they've developed more aspects.
He was on the phone with her for a phone. He was on the view screen with her for a while because
he was
like
on the phone with her.
Yeah. He was on the phone with her for a while because like when they escaped the planet, like he was still yeah, like, still like there's this calamity going down on the planet. And he's still like fucking like on the fucking phone.
They
with
only
his mom.
Give him that shit because he's like the highest ranking dude after everybody else right. leaves. Like otherwise they could get like. Fucking Boimler could do a better job at, like on the con.
Well, that was
Migley Moo.
That was kind of part of the premise of part of the premise of Battlestar Galactica is like you had the okay. What's her name? She led the school board of education essentially, and
no, she was the secretary of education.
Well, but I'm saying, you know, same difference. It's just a different world. There's different words, different world.
I've never understood the phrase "same difference" because it suggests. I mean, I can there's the concept of two differences being the same, and there's a statistical. Analysis.
I mean,
you
are you really gonna
differences
you,
and differences?
Are you gonna really cherry pick the quirks that come, like the quirky phrases that people come up with? I mean, we've established that there's. It's like
I understand same difference
like having,
on a daily basis.
Like,
I understand the colloquial meaning.
It's like saying,
but I'm still perplexed by where what the etymology of the
word
is.
Word, yeah. Okay.
What I was gonna say is,
I'm
it's
with
like
you there.
It's
I've
like,
never looked it up.
It's
I'm
like,
with you there.
I came across some guy once.
Same day, different boss or something. I don't know. Does it derive from something like that?
I. It just reminded me, in my days of travel, I came across an elderly man, and once he was
when you were like a Strider type motherfucker.
Yeah, and he was having a real problem.
Lurking in pubs in the corner.
He was having a real
giving advice to small people.
He was having a real problem with the phrase, I'm not saying anything, I'm just saying. Like, he was like losing his mind over it. I was like... It's
oh, he
just,
did. Oh, he didn't like the phrase that phrase, or he was using.
No,
that
he didn't like that phrase.
Okay.
He was making a big stink about it. He's like, I think it's the dumbest thing that anyway. It's like he picked that one phrase. I'm like, man, there's a lot of weird shit that people say. You know why it's there? It doesn't represent some kind of decline in youth culture. It's just like one of the dumb shits that every generation comes up with. And so it's really arbitrary that you're picking that one thing. You're old. You missed your opportunities. You're bitter about it, and now you're taking it out on the rest of
and
us.
Just to clarify, Dan is using the generic you. He's not referring. To me,
no,
because
I'm looking directly at
you. Looking directly at me is making me uncomfortable. And just to stress, I have no problem with these phrases, but merely an intellectual interest.
Fair enough.
Okay, this is what
sort
I found
of the
out.
Cultural aspect.
That's a fair point.
Same difference was an English bubblegum pop duo from Portsmouth.
What?
That cannot be where the phrase comes from. It's got I would say the arrow of causality has to be going the other direction, in my opinion, that the phrase came out first and then the band.
Mm-hmm.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I think probably the phrase came out first, and that particular Portsmouth band. Took their name from the phrase.
What were we talking about anyways that brought up
Dr. Migley Moo?
Why was I saying same difference?
I don't know. I'm sure you were making an entirely
you're
altogether
an
valid point.
Philip.
Yeah, you're making some important point
that got obscured.
But one not so important as to be retained from our limited aging.
No,
melt,
I think it's
melting
because it got obscured. Man, Migley Moo. We're talking about Migley Moo's Meemaw. We're talking about...
He didn't mention anything about food.
What?
Did he?
No.
Migley Moo likes
to
talk about food some sort of food metaphor.
He's always using food metaphors
in
his
therapy.
Oh, I remember. It was Battlestar Galactica.
Battlestar Galactica.
Because
said the board of the head of the Board of Education
you're like
as opposed to the secretary of education.
And I was saying whatever potato, potato. Nobody says potato.
No, you said same
Some
difference.
I did, but potato, now I didn't want to go back to that discussion again.
If, no, but if you had said potato, potato, we would not have gone down that digression.
I think some people do say potato.
Potato.
What's wrong with those people?
All right. How about this? Let's take a break.
Anyway, she but she became the president. Well, she was becoming. She moved up because like all the people above her got died.
Yeah. Okay. We're gonna take a break.
Take a break.
And when we return, we will roll the dice to see.
It's your roll, though.
What the next topic is? It's gonna be Dan's roll. All right. We'll be right back. I'm doing too much of this.
Right back.
We're back.
Tony the
We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. It's welcome to It's Got Star Trek, the podcast with the most Star
Trek
you'll
everybody.
Ever see. This side of the Alpha Quadrant. I apologize. This whole dice rolling thing has gotten us a little bit on edge, but we're going to power through and keep going.
I like dice rolling.
We're technically just die rolling.
Yeah.
Yes. Die rolling.
It's a D20.
I bet you this one's going to be above 12.
Die rolling.
I can't.
It's 5.
It's a 5.
Okay. You've demonstrated the problem with gambling.
Yeah. I've got a feeling we're due. We're due for one.
Your feeling.
Because you made a statistically hilarious bet. Because you were like, I bet it's going to be above 12. It's like, well, you know. 50-50 chance. Okay, so
actually, it's not.
I mean, less than a 50-50 chance. Okay, forget it. What was it? 5.
Okay,
5. The topic 5 is
it's an 8 out of 20 chance, which is 2/5. 2/5. Which is
topic 5.
5 is 1/4.
Topic 5 is the Ornarins. What? The Ornarins.
No, 12 out of 20. If so, you get 8.
5
you,
out of 20.
If you roll to roll above 12, that's an 8 out of 20 chance.
3 out of 5.
Which would be a 2 out of 5. Oh,
2 out of 5.
Well.
Yeah, no, it sounds like two out of five.
Which would be a 40% chance. It's a 40% chance you roll above 12.
Okay, so topic number 5 in my arbitrarily organized list is the Ornarins.
Ah, the Ornarins.
The topic we are discussing is the Ornarins.
It's a TNG callback.
TNG season 1, episode 22. Symbiosis.
I actually watched that episode, and it was essentially.
It's a good episode.
It's good.
It's a fucked up episode.
Yeah. It's interesting because there are parts of it that are really insightful.
It's 1980s. 1980s Prime Directive is interesting version of Prime Directive.
So Symbiosis. Yeah. There's good and bad. There's good and bad, good parts and questionable parts of that episode. So ultimately, it's like an 80s anti-drug PSA
There's that built in there. With Wesley's all like, why would people use drugs?
Yeah, and Tasha
Yar's like, because it feels fucking good.
It's like, oh, I guess I just don't understand it.
Tasha Yar's like, you should try some drugs. Do some drugs, Wesley.
Yeah. That's why they killed
her. Yeah, there was one part where like some electrical shit took over their comms at the beginning, and Wesley.
Yeah, because they're always zapping each other. The Ornarins and the Brekkens.
Oh, but there was some blue zappiness going through their console, and Jesse.
Oh, that's because of the fucking star in that episode.
Yeah,
there's
Wesley was
crazy.
Wesley was like,
going.
"Wow, it was weird." It was some
maybe
weird
he was on
line.
Drugs.
He might have been.
Maybe that whole conversation Wesley had was like that kind of thing when you smoke a bunch of weed and then you get worried that people think you've smoked weed, so you're all like, "Yeah, I don't think people should smoke weed at all." I think it's a really bad.
Can the replicator make weed?
I presume so. Or snake leaf or cocaine.
If you had the right way to program it, you could just have it make weed.
Sure, that's yeah. What else do you think they do
heroin,
in the holosuites? They do more than just have sex in the holosuites.
I should hope so.
Yeah.
Do they have synthafentanyl? I'm sure we've talked about this before.
Right, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
So anyway, your point about that episode.
Wait. So
the Ornarins.
So it had that cheesy like anti-drug PSA, but on the other hand, what was really insightful, I liked how they, you know, did the where they looked at it like from a medical perspective, it's like these persons have the symptoms of somebody who's dying, blah, 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 but I can't find a sickness wrong with them. And I think that's important to stress with addiction is that like it's not like these people are just like wanting to be the way being that they don't want to like a lot of these people don't want to cause trouble. You know, they don't want to like be a thorn in people's side, but it's like
an addiction.
They feel like they're fucking dying. It's not that they're necessarily that they're weak. It's that they feel like they're fucking dying. And so I think that was, I like that sort of objective viewpoint they took, and I thought that was a very important aspect of the episode.
It's just undercut a little bit by the effective message of that episode, because for as a reminder, since it does factor into the episode of Lower Decks that we're discussing
that we're discussing.
Disgusting.
It is disgusting.
In the episode Symbiosis, Picard uses the prime directive to refuse to allow Beverly Crusher to develop, because Dr. Crusher says, you know what? I've analyzed this. I can develop a version of the drug that is non-addictive, but will resolve their symptoms, their withdrawal symptoms. She's effectively talking about methadone. You know, she's saying, like, I've developed a better way to do this and we can wean them off. And Picard says, we can't do that because of the prime directive. Aww. But then the twist is that Picard won't fix the freighters that are sending this drug back and forth between Brekka. I think Brekka is the name of the planet, something like that, right?
Yeah,
and Brekka. And the Onara. And Picard's all like coyly is like, we can't help you fix your ships, because he knows that that will force the Onarans to go through withdrawal.
Okay, there's a...
What I'm saying is that the 80s message is, yes, addiction is a medical issue, but you should be punished.
Just say yeah.
I know that's probably not what the writers were intending, but that's what comes across in the meta vibe, which is, yes, you deserve to be helped, but you deserve to hurt a little in the process.
And because you should have just
a modern
said no.
Star Trek show wouldn't do that.
Yeah, and because if you had a means to sort of wean someone off without the pain, they would do that. And that's something they try to do now, anyways, to mix success.
All the captains, including later Captain Picard, would have given them the refined drug and said, "Fuck the prime
director." And also, it's one thing to let a heroin addict like kick through their withdrawals, you know, like on their own and just go through the pain, but to let a civilization do it, which they pointed out in Lower Decks, like. To have a whole civilization going through withdrawal, that's asking for just like total fucking chaos.
Was like 14 years.
Of like 10 to 14 anarchy. Years. Like, you can't just...
That mural was some fucked up amazing shit.
Right,
like,
it was.
The art of that mural packs so much
in. Now
we
just jog all the time.
Yeah. Just the misery and horror and how the art itself became scrawled and manic.
So, but the issue I had with the whole Prime Directive tack that he took was because... At first, Picard said he was going to repair the Ornaran ship coils. He said he was going to repair them at first. Yeah. And then when things got a little hairy, he went back on his word. So, like, which is a poor, like, and he said, like, oh, well, it's the Prime Directive. We actually can't. We were going to fix them, but then this other shit came up. And now we're deciding to, after the fact, apply the
1980s Prime Directive. That's a weird drug,
yeah,
1980s Prime Directive.
It is. So it's a poor excuse, and it's just messing with the group of people that are already kind of fucked up. So it's too late to go back. He already interfered. By like
some kind of neoliberal
by bringing
shit.
Them on board, fixing the coils, he already interfered, and now not only is he stopping the interference, he's increasing it by taking it back, which is fucked up. And plus the whole coil argument that you could so I understand that they weren't able to repair their coils because they spent so much time addicted that they didn't know how to repair it. But really, like
the cool part is we will not need to do an episode on. we're doing it right here.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, So the coils were gonna break sooner or later, and you're trying to tell me that the whole civilization couldn't figure out a way to eventually fix the coils. The Brekkans, you're saying the Brekkans wouldn't have gone out of their way to fix the coils to keep up that relationship because it was, as they pointed out, it was important that the Brekkans keep this relationship up.
Yeah, clearly.
So if the coils,
they're gone now.
So if Picard fixed the coils, they would break again in the future anyways.
The Brekkans gonna break.
And so I have a hard time believing that their whole exchange fell apart because some of their ships broke. Like none of them eventually, I can understand at the time.
It's an arch story, right? It's very, very specific and narrow plot line. That is not realistic.
Right, because I can understand at the time they're going through withdrawals. They don't know a bunch about their ship. They've never had to worry about it. But, like, eventually, like, how did those ships get built in the first place? Did everyone just forget how to fix the ship?
Well, to be fair, so you got both of these cultures. They're spacefaring. They just don't have warp. Maybe they already had their trade going back and forth before. Both of them get the plague, but only the one side figures out how to cure it, and they even say in that show that they, you know, before they got addicted to it, they're like, oh, this shit's fucking shady.
Kind of a star has a habitable zone that includes two planets?
Oh, I think that's probably pretty common. But Dan, the other point is that When the Onarins are taking their drugs, I know that in the symbiosis they're shown to be kind of dumb with shit, like mm-hmm. like there's it's a weird 80s version of the drug user where the drug user is completely incapacitated at all times. Mm-hmm. But I think the implication also is that like they didn't always used to be like that. They taking the drug was,
so
they,
over
the
time,
addiction built up over time over and they time, got more and more removed well, from their technology.
I would think that they would the Ornarins and the Brekkens would at least work together to keep their relationship going. But who it wouldn't take for you, but whatever. The Prime Directive is supposed to introduce these philosophical quandaries, but in this case I wasn't really sure what they were trying to convey in that episode. You know, do you remember that cartoon show Cops with Long Arm? And then there was a bad person named Misdemeanor, which I thought was a funny name for a bad guy.
I'm not familiar with it.
Her name was
I remember Misdemeanor. Yeah, I don't remember the rest of the show.
Her name was Misdemeanor.
And I remember then, Voyage of the Mimi.
And then I remember. Oh, yeah, and then I remember learning then I learned the definition of misdemeanor, and a misdemeanor is not that bad, obviously. So calling her misdemeanor,
it isn't that bad.
But
at
she
all,
was like doing all sorts of bank robberies.
To be fair,
and beating people up. Like she wasn't committing misdemeanors; she was committing straight up
violent
fucking felonies. Yeah.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask. Which is like, I was like, you know, some people might argue that committing a series of misdemeanors is not great either.
Yeah, no. Anyway, so
depending on
the
your
last
perspective
thing,
and
the last thing I have to
what's
say,
what's illegal?
The last thing I have to say on Ornarin symbiosis Brekkens
is roll that again.
This cop show, this cartoon show, and the cops were always fighting the bad people, and they all had these weird mechanical powers, and it was kind of crazy. Jesse remembers, Patrick doesn't. You should look it up. Cool show. And so
I remember like the name Mr.
The one time the cops and the bad guys teamed up was against the drug dealer. A drug dealer came into town.
The drug dealer.
The cops and the bad guys were always at each other's throats. But like when the drug dealer came into town, they teamed up and they were all like, not even I. This is the bad guy sounded like this. He's like, not even I like drugs. Yeah. You know,
the drug dealer is like the lowest.
Yeah.
Like rank in the organized crime.
Right. And on TV shows, too. Mm. Yeah, so even the bad guys wanted to get them. It's kind of like in The Rocketeer when the bad guy was like, I may not make an honest buck, but at least I love this country, because there was some Nazis trying to get him, and even the bad guy in The Rocketeer was like going after the Nazis because they were Nazis.
Yeah, the Nazis are bad.
Yes, even the bad guys go against the Nazis.
Everybody agrees.
So we don't like to get political, but it is the position of the It's Got Star Trek podcast that the Nazis, by and large, are bad.
It's a foregone conclusion.
But I think it's a little that's that 80s one-sided view of drug dealing, though, is like it's like, oh, the drug dealers are the worst of them all. And
but also the drug dealers were apparently giving out lots of free drugs.
Yeah.
All the time.
And, you know, and the fact is, you know, yes, of course there's a lot of shadiness involved with dealing drugs, but a lot of them just are trying to make money because they don't have like a proper means to do so.
You can make a good living doing it.
Yeah, right. So it's like it's that whole sort of like one-sided view of everything having to do with drugs is evil, and it was kind of like shady in that response.
The It's Got Star Trek podcast. Like, again, we don't like to get political, but we will state without
like
reservation,
neutral,
we are pro drugs.
We are pro drugs, anti-Nazi.
The neutral zone episode with that dude that was like addicted to drugs and they were giving him a hard time.
Pit Wolfies.
Yeah.
He one of the Pit Wolfies. All right.
Pit Wolfies.
I think it's, was it Pit Wolfies or Pit Wolfies?
So
anyway,
we should ask them.
That's how you pronounce it.
Are the Ornarins going to come back next episode, do you think, in the Lower Decks? We didn't actually talk about it in relation to Lower Decks.
Well, that could come up if we roll right thing. So whose roll is it? Jesse's rolling.
I got a 4.
Oh, Jesse's got a 4. We haven't repeated one yet because that's a whole nother thing. Do we have to discuss the topic again? No.
Yeah.
Obviously not.
We'll try it again.
You have an opportunity to catch up, but we haven't yet done that. So number 4, Mariner's comments to the reporter.
Okay. I've got some opinions about this.
So this was one thing that it was a little weird for me in the episode because to me it was telegraphed from the beginning.
Yes.
That the whole gag was that Mariner was going to say nice things.
Yes.
And then that's exactly what happened.
Yes.
Right.
So I don't know. What are your thoughts on how well that worked or not? I guess I should say the reason why it was a little tricky for me was because I never at any point bought the idea that Mariner was actually going to like talk a bunch of shit about the Cerritos.
And
I don't know if I needed to think that to fully buy into the plot. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think you and that's a good point, Patrick. And Jesse, you make good points as well. What is your thought?
Awesome.
I know, I did. What'd you think, Jesse?
Well, I thought it was very strange that Everybody on the ship except for like her best friends immediately turned on her.
Even Boimler was kind of like, sure, you didn't say anything. Yeah.
Right, exactly. And they hadn't even heard what she said.
Yeah, right.
And I just thought that was really weird.
And that was a whole, like, if you remember the show Three's Company, where the whole episode is based upon a misunderstanding that could have been resolved.
You mean every episode of Three's Company?
Yeah, if two people just had a 5-minute conversation
if
or
Mr.
less.
Mr. Furley hadn't been, like, standing at the door, like, if he had been there 10 seconds earlier.
Yeah.
When Jack Tripper
10 seconds Furley
was talking Furlier. About... Whatever, yeah. You know, talking about or finding the diamonds,
and if he wasn't
the guy at the bar,
and if he wasn't there 5 minutes earlier, if he just approached him on the subject and said, "Hey,
Jack Tripper was like a chef, wasn't he? He was like a really,
yes,
he was like
was.
A
he didn't
he
work
a
at
chef.
The Regal, the Regal Beagle was
no,
way
did not work at the Regal Beagle.
It worked at a nice restaurant.
So Mariner, what are we talking about?
We're her
talking,
comments, her Mariner's comment. Mariner's
okay,
nice comments.
How this could have been resolved with a little bit of conversation, but. I think that it would have been more effective if we were to believe that she was going to say something negative, because that's kind of how it was trying. They were half trying to present it that way. Because
I was confused by
that. Because she presented it the way Mariner presented it. She was like, these guys are talking bullshit. I'm going to tell the real truth. And she was all pissed off. Because the whole episode, Freeman's like telling her to get into place. She's like, go to bed. Like that bullshit.
Yeah, and I like, know. It's time for you to go to bed.
Yeah. And Freeman and Mariner's getting all pissed off because she's being shut up. And she's like, I'm going to tell them the truth. This is all made up. Horse shit, this is all a lie. I'm gonna tell him the truth. And so of course it's set up like she's gonna reveal something, but at the same time I didn't believe that she was gonna do anything like that. Well,
they were trying to thread a needle that I don't think maybe they quite got, because my reaction would be different depending on whether or not if I'm supposed to believe that Mariner is gonna say bad things. Well, they failed in that, because I never felt that was gonna happen. And if I wasn't supposed to believe that, then the way they did those clues that seemed to be set up to make you believe that, it's confusing. It's confusing. Yeah. Right? So I'm not exactly sure what I was supposed to think.
And if they could have they could have like made her said something negative, but not like something crucially mean. Just be like, oh, you should see her when she gets out of bed in the morning. She's got stinky breath, or I don't know. That makes it sound like Mariner's sleeping with her mom. But you know what I'm saying? Like they should have, the way they should have made it better is Mariner should have said, should have said something negative, because that way Mariner could have been like, well, I did say something bad, but it turns out it was something totally like harmless and, you know, like, but
the camera adds 10 frowns.
Yeah. So it seems like she should have said something negative, because you don't go saying like, I'm going to tell the truth and then just say we're a fucking happy family. The setup doesn't match the punchline. It's like,
excellently stated, sir.
You don't just get mad at someone and say you're going to reveal the truth and then talk about how they're family.
Part of what maybe is throwing me off a little bit here is what Jesse, what you were talking about, is it's the crew aspect. The mom, you know, Captain Freeman, we know about her relationship, sort of up and down relationship with Mariner. We know that she has a particular obsession with how she comes across to other people in Starfleet. You know, she's very focused on her reputation and is ambitious to a certain degree anyway. So I understand her freaking out and overreacting. It makes sense with her character. It makes less sense with a lot of the other characters.
Everybody on the bridge, except for Boimler, who happened to be on the bridge, like had turned on her.
Yes.
And Jennifer had turned on her too. Like,
yes.
All of a sudden. That was what was weird. I was like, what's going on?
Like nobody asked her what she said.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it makes me wonder, like, is something tricking? Like, is there some kind of trick going on? Like somebody's tricking somebody?
But part of the problem
is it temporal Cold War shenanigans?
Yeah, like, which would be great if it turned out it was, because then that'd be a funny joke, because that's the conspiracy guy, right? The guy who's always like, Wolf 359 was an inside job.
I think that line is so funny. Because like it's like he should have sympathy for Mariner, because like since it's not her fault, it's just the temporal cold war made it all happen, but he's still like, even though that the temporal cold war made you do that, that's still pretty fucked up.
They could retroactively make some of this stuff make more sense but I don't know, I don't see them actually
like
doing
I said,
that
the best they can do at this point is have Mariner say like, well, I did say she like, you know, sometimes gets grumpy on when she doesn't have her coffee or something, but like even then, like, yeah.
And I would have been I think perhaps a little bit more accepting.
That's a Janeway shit.
Of,
yeah, you're right. It's not even a Freeman thing.
Like with with Jennifer, I think is a good example. Jennifer, if Jennifer being in a weird position, but not so immediately dismissive, right? Mm-hmm. That's I think what threw me off is that these people who are, they're supposed to be close to her, and Jennifer being one of those people, I could understand it affecting their relationship. I could understand Jennifer being thrown off, but it's sort of like that, you know, when Jennifer like violently pulled her shoulder away when Mariner tried to reach out to her. Mm-hmm. I know that for the dramatic effect, that was really good, but just sitting there watching it, it was one of those few things in this episode which largely I enjoyed, and largely I'm interested in the implications of this episode where it ended up. But that stuff threw me off a little bit.
I think it was just really a quick way to get them to the next part of the plot, pretty much.
Yeah.
It was because, like, you know, 20 minutes of show, 25 minutes of show, and like that was, they just, but even if they had more time to work on it, they
could
really,
in my book, they could have still transferred Mariner, because Freeman, I can buy Freeman going way overboard and making a colossal error, which he did. It's just the other people. I wish that instead of the whole ship being like, oh, fuck you, Mariner. Like, Shax was being all, fuck you.
Yeah.
What's her name? The Trill.
The Darmok guy.
Yes.
He had a friend. Kayshan. Kayshan.
It increased the drama in one sense, but it would almost be better if everyone's like, what the fuck happened? And she's like, I don't know. And then everyone turns on Freeman maybe later. I don't know. We will have to wait and see how the story plays out.
You saw people give their interviews and they were telling part of their story. And then later you saw like the reporter's edit or whatever. And you saw like the rest of the story. And that's when you hear them like say the negative stuff or like the supposedly like questionable stuff about a Starfleet vessel. Like the dude's like, I turned it into a puppet.
Yeah.
Well, and then also Victoria, I don't know if this is another die roll.
It is another die roll thing.
Okay.
But you're permitted to make an oblique reference. Okay. No names.
No names. Oh shit, no names. How am I supposed to do this?
Don't mention her profession.
God damn it.
But you can mention the function of her profession.
Well, I mean, Jesse was talking about that video, and I was just saying that Mariner was Victoria said that she transferred Mariner because Freeman transferred Mariner because she was talking to the press, and that's why they kicked her off. But, you know, that's obviously like twisted reporter stuff or whatever, because she got kicked off because there's a history that outsiders aren't aware of that involves insubordination between Mariner and Freeman. They have a history, and taking that history out of context, you can of course distill it down to like, yeah, Mariner talked to me and then Mariner got kicked off the ship, therefore her talking to me is the reason she got kicked off the ship. It's like, no, there
which
was
also didn't make sense because all the other people talked to her too, so.
Yeah, right, exactly. That's a good point. But like, and so there's a whole history that builds up to it, and really if you want to look at it another way, it was Victoria's attack on the on Freeman.
You said Victoria, you gotta roll the dice.
The reporter character reminded me of the reporter on The Expanse.
Yes, because it was The Expanse reporter.
Yeah.
With the floaty,
because it had like the floaty camera thing.
Another way you could look at it, it was Victoria's attack on Freeman. That's what set the ball rolling. It wasn't like because Mariner talked to her.
Set the dice rolling.
It was because like she attacked Freeman. I mean, there's many ways you could look at it, and it's just like that's like all what. It's a good example of spin, basically, and how spin.
All right, spin the dice because we maybe can get one more topic in before the next break.
We should go to the no spin zone, where there's extra spin. Bill O'Reilly.
16.
Oh no.
Oh, 16. Okay, this is a good one to lead into the break.
Wait, I thought you said there was nothing of 13 or above.
No, I said 17 or above.
Oh, the odds are totally different now. It's a 3
those were the same odds.
It's a 3 out of 20 chance. It's a 3 out of 20 chance.
Yeah, I was sort of perplexed that you were talking about. You were like, I bet you it's going to be over 12. And I was like, why do you care about it being over 12?
I thought it was over 12, but it's over 16. That means there's only a 15% chance of me rolling something or Jesse rolling something that you don't already have a number for it.
I just went along with it because I was afraid.
Me too, Jesse. I'm right there with you.
Fuck you guys. 16. There's a 15% chance of getting
his laptop shut. 17. Hurl it across the
17,
fucking table.
17, 18, 19. Take no, it's different. Right. Shit, off. There's a 20-sided dice. It's
all
so
right.
It's
while Dan calculates the odds.
It's a 20% chance of getting above 16 rolls.
Never
20%.
Okay, I would just like everyone in the audience to pause for a moment, close your eyes. Now, imagine a classic scene on the original Star Trek, the original series.
The original. Oh man, I don't even know.
Classic setup where there's some shenanigans going on.
Clanky camp.
And Captain Kirk is all like Captain Kirk is all like sabotage or whatever. And then Spock comes out and he's all like the odds, Captain, are, you know, 111 I want you to
I don't have as much as you should want to.
I want you to close your eyes, imagine that scenario. Except
you already told them.
But now that they've imagined the Spock giving odds scenario, I want them to pluck Spock out of that fantasy and insert Dan and Dan's style of determining the odds, which involves a lot of yelling and frustration.
No, because imagine Kirk, instead of being like, Spock, what's the answer? Imagine Kirk going, Spock, hey, whoa, a butterfly, whoa, Spock, a butterfly, butterfly, sounds like butt, asshole, butterfly, asshole, Spock. And Spock's just like, I'm just trying to give you the odds.
Sabotage.
I suspect that Dan is crafting this sort of a form of a straw man in which I am the straw man. And he's characterizing me as somebody who yells things about butterflies and other things.
You started it.
Fluttering butterflies.
You straw manned me first.
All right. We're still trying. We do have to get into the break soon. But first, we have to talk about topic number 16, which is no to be continued.
What?
No,
oh,
no,
that's right.
No to be continued.
I was going to say that at the beginning of the podcast when you were like, hold up now.
because
it ends in the fashion of the first part of a two-parter.
Yes.
But there's no to be continued.
No.
There's all this kind of buildup without any, like, you know?
So what does that tell us?
There's no to be continued.
So there's no, we're not going to follow up on the, we're going to follow up on the Breen. We have to.
It's just an implied to be continued.
Or is there no Breen?
And they're not going to insult our intelligence.
Is there really, that we're not going to like talk any more about the Ornarans or the Brekkens or the Breen?
We can talk about it.
I'm not suggesting.
Don't jump.
I'm personally. Jump I am personally.
I mean, they followed the story of the Packleds without it to be continued.
Yes.
You know?
I'm not suggesting there's not going to be follow up.
Oh, absolutely.
Not necessary.
I'm not suggesting there's not going to be follow up. What I'm suggesting.
That would be television malfeasance.
Is that in. When using the to be continued, the requirement is that it is part of a constrained storyline that is going to be largely concluded in the next episode.
That's what you said.
Or you could do, a la Deep Space Nine and the Circle trilogy, you could be a to be continued and a to be concluded.
Yeah.
You could do three.
A three-parter.
But still a confined, circumscribed plot. Whereas, a la the Packleds, a la some of the other things that we've watched, Wage Douge and things like that, it's not worthy of a to be continued. And I do not mean that in the pejorative sense.
Folks. Trust me. I've asked him this before. I didn't believe him for the longest time. It's taken many ups and downs in our friendships, but I've finally come.
You've come to believe me.
I've come to believe you. I found my peace with it. Mm. He does not mean it in the pejorative sense.
Hear me now and believe me later.
Yeah. Get out of the city. That was a perfect stranger's
reference. Perfect stranger.
Anything else about this to be continued thing before we head into our little break?
Balki Bartokomus. Jesse, do you want to talk about the to be continued since you brought it up initially?
Well, that was mostly what it was. Yeah. It's all kind of leading up to it to be continued, and you're expecting to see that, and it doesn't happen.
Dun, dun, dun.
So are the Ornarans
But I still think it's to be continued.
Do you think the Ornarans and the Brekkens were just a quick reference they brought in to talk about how that episode, just to reference that episode to talk about, like, yeah, that was a little kind of a weird resolution. Let's show you what actually happened, which is interesting how the planet that got cut off thrived. Which is makes sense when you look at it. It's like, well, it turns out, as sketchy as that was, Picard was right.
Yes.
Like, so.
And
like,
the other planet got totally fucked.
Yeah, and the other planet got fucked.
The Breen showed up.
God damn. My Breen did not show up. The Breen,
well,
the Breen.
And the joke, because even though it was somewhat predictable, the joke that they show up and everything's fine and nothing needs help, that's a funny joke.
Yeah, it's funny because, and it's because they, you know.
And like fitness nuts.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, there's sort of real life sort of evidence of that kind of stuff kind of happening as you replace one thing with another.
Because the Ransom's all like, how much can you bench? And it's like, we don't care about numbers. We just try to keep the voices out of our head.
Right, yeah. And, But and then Brekka's lost everything because all their income came from one source, and that one source was eliminated. So it makes sense that they got. But
we
gotta
diversify.
But I mean, so maybe they're not gonna follow up on the Breen and all that. But I am curious why the Breen were there.
Oh, I'm sure they know. They will. They you don't put the Breen anywhere. Yeah. You don't employ the Breen.
Which show?
That's
the
other thing
from?
I know. One thing I know is that Patrick didn't mean it pejoratively, and I also know that you don't just put the Breen in.
Where did the Breen
until you want the, until you want their intentions seen.
You never go full Breen.
But the Breen are mysterious, so we don't always see what they mean.
Deep Space Nine had a lot of Breen.
Was that Breen okay? Stuff. It was okay.
They pop up some other places as well, but yeah. Deep
are Space they from Nine. The Gamma?
No,
they kind of look like
they're always hanging out with like they hook up with various people.
Ah,
yeah, right.
They kind of look like Princess Leia when she dressed up in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Oh, what was the name of that? She was pretending to be a different bounty.
Yeah. Garbo.
Barbo.
Garbo. It's now time for a break.
A second break.
We will go to break, and I will use a different vocal inflection
to return us from the break.
To go to the break, which is now. All right, we have returned from said break.
So Princess Leia was disguised as the bounty hunter Boosh.
Bosh, that's right.
Bosh.
Hey, the mighty, mighty Boosh. Yeah.
Mighty Boosh.
Mighty Boosh.
Because there was an action figure that, like, you could remove the helmet and it was Princess Leia underneath.
What was the primary action? The primary action was just removing the helmet.
I remember
my
cousin had a Tauntaun toy.
I had a Tauntaun.
And you can press the belly in.
Yeah.
That you're supposed to be able to put the action figures in there, but I could never fit anything in there other than like squishy things that shouldn't go
put
in
weed
there.
In there. You put your weed in there.
I was too
put
young.
Put your weed in there.
Didn't know what weed was. Didn't need a stash.
All right, so we need to wrap things up. So we got a number of things left to discuss on the list. So we got to do some quick rolls.
Oh, it's my roll. I'm sorry.
Quick rolls.
Don't be sorry, Jesse.
19.
Oh fuck.
Oh, 19. That means it's a free topic. All right, Jesse, you got to pick something to talk
how
about.
How many times have we rolled?
I don't know.
Because I can figure out if that met probabilities.
But I don't know. Jesse, come up with the
topic.
We'll
have to play back the tape. I'll tell you next week. This is exciting. Let's talk about while Jesse thinks about the next topic. Yeah.
All right, you can just roll another one.
Just roll
again.
Re-roll.
Again. I'm lame. 14.
14!
We still haven't gotten a double.
Oh, 14? We already discussed, it's 14 as the Pyrethian bat. Anything else to say about the Pyrethian bat?
That's interesting that you made that a separate subject because it was already...
I made it a septic subject.
You made it a separate subject because it was already a part of the Starbase 80, and there wasn't exactly a lot to talk about with Starbase 80.
Just in case somebody didn't mention it during Starbase 80. All right.
What
Jesse?
Else would they have mentioned during Starbase 80?
What's next?
Nine.
He rolled like five fucking times.
Because it kept being the same shit that kept being rolled before.
Sorry.
It was like trick dice.
Okay. Number nine is obliques are for freaks.
That's cool. Yeah.
Who said that?
Ransom.
Ransom said that.
Well, that's right.
I forget what
did.
The first part of that joke was.
Glutes are cute, but
yes,
obliques are.
Glutes are cute.
Yeah, the obliques are those like side muscles that you, with the little rivets and things.
Now, as somebody who is less experienced in the ways of masculine bodybuilding, do either of you two have an opinion
I believe this fellow
on this concept?
May have some experience.
Dan, what would you say?
Based on his past athletic
history. We're not ascribing expertise to you, Dan, but we, in relative terms, in this group of people, you probably have the most familiarity with what's going on.
You were in like weight training.
On like the side.
This is a long time ago. Okay,
yeah, very long
ago. I mean, obliques are like, you got your abdomen, which is like the center, and the obliques are basically the side to the sides of the abdomen.
If you're eating a fish, is that what you're eating?
What?
Like if you're eating a fish.
I don't know if it translates.
Ooh. Like the sides of a fish.
I don't know if the muscle structure perfectly is analog to that, but
I can eat a side of fish.
Just look at your pecs. Take your pecs, put your hands on your pecs, put your hand down.
The pecs is like on a chicken, it would be like the breasts.
And then put your fingers on your solar plexus and go down. That's your abdomen. But if you go under
solar plexus.
But if you go to the right and left of your abdomen, but all the way down to your waist, those are your oblique muscles. And so that gives you the stuff like that formation where you get like that line that goes down to your crotch.
Is the one you're referring to cum gutters? And apologies again to the audience for the term. You know, it's not a term I'm a fan of.
I hadn't heard of cum gutters until...
But it's a colloquial term.
I hadn't heard that until recently, and honestly, I don't know if that refers to abdomen or obliques. I don't know which the cum gutters really refer to.
Well, please write us in at feedback at itsgotstartrek.com, or you can get us on Twitter, at itsgotstartrek, and just let us know. If you know better than we are. We're taking stabs in the dark here when it comes to this whole cum gutters
phrase. I think we've talked about this before.
I don't think we came to any firm conclusions.
Take your fingers.
No puns intended in anything that I just said.
Take your fingers and poke where you think your liver might be. Poke where the edge of your
that makes me all oogie.
And poke where, or on the other side, poke where the side of your colon might be.
I'm gonna poke you in the colon.
Those are. On the sides, like a 45 degree.
Like where your spleen is?
Like a 45. Like
spleen.
Look, let me fucking tell you where the obliques are. Where you 45 degrees angles in, not a perpendicular. That would be the abdomen in the center. But off
I got
of the,
that much.
Off of the 45 degrees off to the side, from starting from your pecs down, and where your side organs are, that's your like obliques.
Side organs. All right, I think we're ready for another roll, Jesse.
Get neat little lines near your armpits.
Dan, do you want to roll?
And it connects from your. You get neat little lines from your armpits down to your.
He'll be happy.
And those are your obliques as well.
Number two is Victoria Newsy, the reporter.
Well, I already gave my opinion on her.
A little bit. Here, there's plenty more to talk about because another thing that was puzzling about her is why did she be all like...
Why did she be all... I don't know, Patrick.
Why was she coming across as all stupid at first? I'm guessing my assumption is that she was trying to lull the crew into a false sense of security by being playing the ignorant fool... The ignorant, curious reporter, because she made a comment like, you know, Captain Freeman said, "Have you ever seen a warp core?" And she was like, "Oh no, I've never."
Right.
But then later on, she talks about how she was clearly a reporter during the Dominion War, so she's experienced. She knows what she's talking about. Similar to the other critique I had about this episode with Mariner and that whole situation, I was not clear on whether the reporter was only supposed to be fooling the crew, or if her behavior was also supposed to be fooling the audience. It was a little unclear to me because I immediately figured her to be the shady reporter, right? Like, why do you, if you're going to have the reporter on, and Jesse, as you noted, she was set up to mimic the reporter from The Expanse, who has the little floating thing, and also is not a bad person necessarily, but aggressive reporter.
It's a ripple to the story.
Looking for something specific. It all plays in. And when you tie it into the fact that Admiral Bueno Migo was the one who put her on there, as we said before, that's one of the things that makes him suspicious. It also makes her suspicious because he's placed her there, whether she realizes it or not. Probably she doesn't. I guess we're supposed to understand that she doesn't. She is playing. She's a tool in Buen Amigos. That's my supposition. That's my assertion.
It looks like that.
She's a tool in his plan, whatever that is,
to reveal the Texas class.
Yes, because he was all like, "Oh, now I can officially declassify it since a reporter videotaped this motherfucker saving the day in some brilliant fashion."
Yeah,
right. So that's something to say about the reporter that we haven't said before, Dan.
It's kind of a bummer to think about a whole ship that's automated like that. Although that's what Prodigy.
Dude, we're not there yet. We got to keep rolling dice. We're going to get really close to the automated ship.
Would you like to roll?
Yeah, because we really need to get that. We need to talk
12.
To that.
We already did 12. 13.
Oh, 13 is sad Vulcan slide salute.
Oh, yeah, I wrote that down too.
Did you write it in a similar verbiage?
I wrote it down as the following, and I will tell you that following just now as soon as I can find it. The thing that I was talking about, Mariner, was this.
Dan is a professional vamper. They call him Vampin' Dan. That's what they used to call him.
Mariner gave a sad live long and prosper on her way out. That's what I wrote.
Yeah, she did that whole like classic episode. Yeah,
yeah, that's
except she's a sarcastic Vulcan salute.
Yeah, that's like what Boimler did, and he totally pulled it off one episode last couple seasons ago or whatever.
So that pointed, and that hit me emotionally. Yeah. that like immediately I was like, oh.
I also this is slightly not even tangential, but it reminded me. I was reminded of like She had so much pie filling on her.
Like, oh, wait, wait.
You gotta wait until we roll the number.
Keep rolling.
Jesse, roll.
Oh.
There is some kind of chocolate on that dice or something. 15.
That could just be feces.
That's what I was afraid of.
Oh, no.
15 is
pocket feces.
Petra Aberdeen. Petra Aberdeen, who?
Oh, that's the archaeologist.
Yes.
Oh, right.
British Indian.
We met earlier in the season.
Maybe they're going to go find something secret on Brekka, and like maybe they'll find some kind of thing.
I bet they're
causing...
going to just bypass all of his foolishness and do something awesome.
You don't... I also think they'll do something awesome. I'm really fascinated by this storyline, even though we predicted this storyline was going to happen.
Yeah. Right. Do you think that the Mariner... Aberdeen plot is going to be completely separate from what's going on with the Cerritos and the
Brekkans? Not initially. I think it'll be like the Boimler thing, mm-hmm. where Boimler makes his way back after some time away. Dramatically, from a story structure.
Do you think they're going to save the day with the Breen and the stuff like that? Like,
possibly. Yeah. Probably. It might be more clever and creative if they go a different direction, but probably that's where it'll be. I think they're going to do it in a really good way.
Do you think they're
going to
resolve it before the season's over, or is Mariner and Aberdeen going to be disappeared off and we're going to be left on a season cliffhanger?
I hope that we don't get that resolved until next season, even if it's in the first episode of next season or something like that. I would like to see Mariner be off and about a little bit on her own, having some of these adventures, because I think, again, from a storytelling perspective, from a story structure perspective, you want to take your hero out of their comfort zone and let them experience an alternate version. You know, it's like the It's a Wonderful Life.
You got to wander in the desert for 40 days.
Exactly. You got to have that whole business.
I just thought about a restaurant called the Comfort Zone, and then you can buy a hero sandwich from the Comfort Zone. And when you get to go,
sounds delicious.
When you get it to go, you're taking the hero out of its comfort out of the comfort zone.
Can you get a French fries?
I would like to take the hero out of the comfort zone. Is when you order a hero sandwich from a restaurant called the Comfort Zone.
Is there fried okra?
Fried okra just needs ranch.
What?
Well, fried okra, there's no point to fried okra. That's why they douse it in ranch all the time.
Shut your mouth, sir.
I don't eat fried okra because because in Oklahoma,
you're missing out, baby.
Why do they call it fried okra? Because it's in Oklahoma. And so.
Okay. All right.
No, I had no idea.
And all they do out there is make fucking. If you want to talk about ranch soup, you take fucking ranch and you fucking pour it all over fried okra. That's what they do out there.
That sounds terrible.
All right. Okay. Well, I have respect for you and your like of fried okra, because you like fried okra for itself, not just a reason to get.
I would never put ranch on it. Because
they use it. It's like an iceberg salad where they just use it as a vehicle to get the ranch in their mouth, which is fine if that's what you like. It's just not my thing.
Okay. I am with you there.
Enough. We'll do a whole episode on fried okra.
I respect your opinion on fried okra.
We can do it at the same time we do fried green tomatoes.
An okra podcast.
It's got okra.
Oklahoma.
Okay.
Different show.
All right. We got the Petra Aberdeen. Future storylines. We'll see what's going to happen. I'm of the view that let that linger a little bit, because that'll let.
Do you have to let it linger?
Mariner's got to figure out.
Do you have to let it linger? You know I'm such a fool for you. You wrap it around your 16. Finger. Do you have to let it linger? May she rest in peace. That was weird. She died.
Do you have to smell my finger?
She died. People be dying.
I rolled a 16.
Okay,
you can't 16, do that.
16. We already did. Not no.
Oh,
no to be continued.
Oh, eight.
Eight. Eight
is
great.
That's a good one.
No, we already did that one. Admiral Buenamigo.
This is going to take forever. This is like takes the longest.
Hey, you got to keep it up. Keep it going. All right. Texas class automated starships. Dan, this has been waiting. You've been waiting for this.
Once again, I think I already talked about
it. No, you didn't, because I stomped all over it. But if you want me to reiterate,
I like that you admitted that you stomped all over it.
Well, I'm proud of that fact, because we're sticking to this format for this particular episode.
You stomped all over it and then said what I was going to say. No.
I didn't say anything.
No, I think this text, you're right.
Although I think I probably agree with you. So, with the automated things, I think there's a couple things. First of all, it's the lack of a crew. That's from a Star Trek perspective. Already, that's the storyline right there.
But now there's Prodigy has got its own sort of like Star Trek Prodigy.
But that's
has
a training
own...
program.
Yeah.
Right. There's like the Janeway hologram is meant to be a training.
But we program. But we got this idea of, like, for example, how the crew became, you know, how they had to go to the Relaxo ship because they were all the engineering was all stressed up out. But yeah, it's like we got this entire crew, this ship that is constantly needy and needs all sorts of maintenance. That ship is so needy. It needs everyone, this crew
California
people
class.
Doing shit on it all day long. And what do you do when
maybe most of the maintenance is related to the flakes of human skin and sweat and mucus that gets slurped up into the system and all the systems that are designed to keep the humans alive because humans shouldn't be living in space. And those are the things that cause everything on the ship, like all the fucking moisture and humidity that's just
so
boiling off of the humans.
So they should have just taken humans
off. And not just humans, there are aliens on the ship too. I don't want to exclude the grossness of the aliens and their flaky, gross Andorian flaky horn, like little antenna skin floating around.
So they should have never put people on ships to begin with, is what you're saying, because that's why they need a crew, is to update all to upkeep all the people on the ship.
It's like the current, that's a current debate. A lot of people argue that it costs so much to send humans up into space,
but
that you should do it. I'm in favor of human space travel. There's a good argument.
But looking at the engineers alone, they're constantly doing stuff round the clock on that fucking ship just to keep it running. That's not even to mention upgrades and shit.
But you're arguing that this ship.
So I'm saying that
might
this ship.
Need that
so I'm saying. Well, I'm saying that this ship. No, I'm
it
saying
needs
it's
less maintenance.
Well, I'm saying that's a huge deal. It's a huge deal to have a ship that's unmanned because.
What's your deal, Wade?
Because suddenly you have this ship that doesn't need any.
It's a line from Fargo.
He's
like, it's my deal, Wade.
So suddenly suddenly you have this ship that doesn't need any kind of crew or anything like that. And we're not just talking about a car that drives itself. We're talking about an entire ship with hundreds of people running it. So like, yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. That's a huge Star Trek deal. How are they going to do?
And how people be being?
So
how
they do? So they're going to have to present some kind of comparison between what can this ship do that. Of course, is it going to be the classic thing where it's like everyone will be like, wow, this ship can do everything.
Maybe it'll be the Exocomm thing all over again. And it turns out the ships are alive and they're like, I'm not fucking going to battle.
So is it going to be like a situation where everyone's going to be amazed by this new automated ship? It's going to supplant all the people working on the other ships. And they're going to be like, shit, I guess they don't need us anymore. But then something goes awry and we discover we need humans after all, you know?
Probably. Well, presumably that's what the plot line is going to be. The creativity will be in how that happens.
Right.
It could happen that maybe it's people have suggested on the World Wide Web. People have suggested that it could be Peanut Humper and Edgemus.
Peanut Humper? Did you say Peanut Humper?
I may have
Peanut Humper.
Inadvertently said Peanut Humper.
That's Freudian. If Freud was something that people took seriously, they would take that seriously.
You're suggesting that I may have some sort of deep-seated fantasy about humping a peanut.
Or that character.
Or the character. I could buy that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could buy that a little bit more. You know, yeah. Sexy little robot. I get what the bird guy had in her. What was his name?
Looks like a flying Atari or something. Yeah.
But who knows if they'll do that. But they've set up a few storylines involving artificial intelligences. And now they're setting up a storyline involving these robot ships and with some hint of sinisterness or whatever going on. And if we're to pull back further into the larger Star Trek metaverse, I think, Jesse, you might have mentioned it before. There's Control from Discovery and there's the AI problems that happen in Picard after this, because, you know, they have all the
I would like
data looking motherfuckers.
Yeah.
I would like it if they could settle on some compromise where by the end they find, yes, there's a function for these types of ships. These ships will aid us in a lot of ways, but there's still certain things that can only be performed with a sentient crew. I don't know what you call it. A live crew. Like, what does life mean anymore?
And it is in a fictional context, it's difficult to actually come up with a firm position on that because we don't actually travel around in space.
Yeah, right. But it would
be faster than light. Like we don't know. So it is tricky to come up with something beyond.
It's sort of in a metaphorical sense. I just don't like the idea of saying like, well, we don't need people, but I also don't like the idea of saying like, well, nothing replaces people, therefore we don't need robots either. It's like we could use both.
I presume it won't be quite so. I hope it won't be quite so simple. I agree with you. I'm not concerned about that, but if that does happen, if it's too simplistic.
Oh, I think you should be concerned.
All right. So which
numbers? I think you should be concerned.
You got to roll again.
I think you should be concerned.
We have not rolled a one.
You should be so worried. I'm so worried about. What's that?
That's Monty Python.
I can't remember. It's something about baggage something?
Yes.
I'm so worried about
the baggage retrieval system at Heathrow. That's the line.
Ah, Right.
So, number, roll dice. People roll dice. We got to finish up here. It's end of podcast time. End of days.
11.
No, we already did that one. Yeah. That was Miggly Moo and the Mother. Keep rolling.
Four. We already did four.
Mariner's comments.
18.
18 is free. Free roll.
This is going to take forever. Just
six.
Six. Brekka and the Breen. We already talked about the Breen a little bit, but we hadn't gotten a six before. But I think we covered the Breen.
What do the Breen mean? They're so obscene.
What do they mean?
All right. Roll
peen,
again.
Peen, peen.
Roll again.
Look at peen. The Breen peen.
Four.
It's like the Brat Pack, except it's the Breen peen.
What one. Do you...
One pie eating contest.
Pie yes. eating contest.
I think this is
finally.
The last
she
one.
She had so much pie on her. She had so much pie filling. That's the one
it
I
was practice.
That's the one that I you thought
I was confused you, by the I love pie.
You thought that you thought
I love pie. In fact, after watching this episode, I went out and bought two pies, a pot of blueberry pie and an
yes,
apple pie.
No way.
Pie.
I did.
That made that blueberry look good. You thought I was wanting you thought I wanted to talk about Victoria Nuzé. You thought I wanted to talk about that the Texas class ship. I wanted to talk about the pie, really. That's
I thought
truly.
You were gonna talk about Bruno.
Who?
Bruno. You know, the famous
song. I don't think we talk about
We don't talk about Bruno.
I don't get that.
All right.
What is that from?
It's from the very popular Disney animated cartoon Encanto.
I never saw that.
It's worth checking out.
I never saw
it. Got
that.
Some good tunes in there.
I never saw
one
it.
One of those tunes being We Don't Talk About Bruno.
Well, I didn't get it.
It's okay.
It's
we're
that
not,
guy,
we're
it's
not
that,
all. We don't. We're not all going to get all the
that
little
guy,
phrases.
That so, Manuel Miranda.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, that guy, right?
Et al.
It Emmanuel
also has
Lewis.
Stephanie Beatrice.
Emmanuel Lewis.
Stephanie Beatrice, who was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. She plays the main.
Does
character.
It have Marina Sirtis?
No, it does not have Marina Sirtis in it.
Like
pie eating.
So you actually bought some pie. I thought about pie. I didn't actually go out and buy pie, but now I'm wishing
Let's
I had.
Go get
I
some
didn't
pie.
Go to the store specifically for pie, but I was at the store and I passed by some.
What are you doing?
By
what are you doing
pie.
Tomorrow?
I passed
Can we
upon
get some pie.
Some pie.
Where would you get pie from?
I just went
There's
to the grocery
the Vienna,
store.
Like pie, the Vienna pie store.
You can make your own pie.
You can make your own. Pie.
Do they do Germans? There's the Heidelberg Bakery. Do Germans sell pie?
Maybe.
Not really.
Oh,
not
maybe,
really.
Maybe Heidelberg.
Apple pie was made by German Americans, but it's a firmly American.
We could go
invention.
To Cox Farms and get some pie at Cox Farms. That's a real place.
Cox Farms is a great place.
It's far away.
For fall activities.
And for all those people that don't know Northern Virginia.
Okay. So, what my point with the pies is it's funny, it's cute. I'm confused by the desire to want to eat all these pies because I love pie, but I don't want to like be in a pie eating contest.
Oh, I know.
Well,
it sounds horrible.
And they took it to the extreme, like with the Rutherford freaking out over pie. It's just like, do they have
just replicate new
just
pies?
Replicate new pies. Like, do they have rations or something? I don't
they
know.
Probably have some level of rations,
but they could have made some pie.
But yeah, I think you get a lot of stuff.
It was
too many pies.
No, the best joke was like how she kept tracking. Pie
yes.
filling everywhere, and she had no. There was no pie in sight.
No.
She was just covered in
pie
filling.
Long gone.
It was like footprints,
and it was yeah. It wasn't even just like on her face, like leftover pie filling. It's like yeah, she kept tracking it everywhere, and there was like, was there footprints on the wall, or was that just handprints? I don't know.
It was also peculiar that
it was
she
a
was
chaotic amount of pie.
She was practicing
filling.
Eating pie like. Not too long before the pie eating contest. Now, I am not familiar with the training specifics and particulars around food contests. I understand the idea of stretching out your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long you're supposed to do it, how far ahead. I would presume, though, and I may be presuming incorrectly, but I would presume that. You don't want to have a full stomach.
No,
at
I think
the beginning
I think
of your
you'd probably
contest.
Want to do it. You'd probably want to do it like the night before, and then not eat that
yeah.
day or something like
on
that.
On the other hand,
on the other hand,
on the other end, mate, what you could do is you could beam it out.
Beam it out.
You beam it out because we're in Star Trek. You beam it out.
What would you do if you had to beam out some boy?
I mean, honestly, you could do that during the competition. They might have to have anti-beaming. Force fields put up,
yeah.
Some sort of barrier so that you're not just beaming the pie out of your belly as you're
shoving
it down your belly.
What if instead of beaming your poop out into space, you beamed your poop into somebody else's colon?
All right,
and somebody had to poop. Well, they could do they could make that that procedure where you replace your poop with someone else's poop to make
that's
their
called
stomach
a fecal transplant.
Yeah, that may it's much easier in the future.
I don't even know if it rises to the level.
You know
of
the
procedure?
Grossest?
You just eat it as a pill. It's
yeah,
a desiccated dried pill of.
What's
of feces.
Gross is the idea of wiping somebody else's feces out of your own butt. That's disgusting.
Okay, I agree. I'm not going to disagree.
Where are you getting this from?
I'm not going to disagree with that statement. However, I will take it as a clue that we're winding down the podcast.
Okay.
We're done. Absolutely. I do think Absolutely. That we've discussed everything on the list.
I don't like thinking about Tendi dislocating her jaw to eat pie. I already get ooged out when they talk about how snakes like dislocate their jaw when they want to eat deer and shit like that, or whatever it is they do.
Something bigger than
yeah, that. Like dislocate. I have like weird like hang-ups about my jaw, but
yeah, dude.
Do you have TMJ?
You know about, yeah.
Do you have TMJ?
Well, I used to have dreams.
Testicular meningitis?
Yeah, I have testicular contusion.
Of the jaw.
No, I used to have dreams where my mouth would open and then it wouldn't close. And then one time I tried.
Mandibular.
And they would hurt.
So you have to like kick your jaw shut?
Mandibular concretion.
I'm explaining what it is. So in the dream, my mouth would open and it couldn't close and it hurt. My dreams hurt. And then one day, my jaw wouldn't close and I kept trying and the bottom half of my jaw shattered. And it fell all over the ground, and all there was the top half of my mouth, yeah. And my hands, I'm trying to put the jaw back together, but I'm missing the lower half of my jaw. These are reoccurring dreams I have. Yeah. I haven't had the shattered jaw dream in a while, all but right. I still get dreams where I can't close my mouth, and it hurts.
So,
did we get those dreams where you like can't walk?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, where you start stuck. Floating away, yeah. Or you try to punch.
Oh, yeah, and then you just fly.
Gentlemen.
So, gentlemen,
this is interesting. However, this is meant to be lighthearted entertainment.
Yeah, we're getting dark. Yeah.
Pond Far. What does it mean? Jaws falling off. What does it mean? How when they were talking about Pond Far's being the biggest crew night of the year, that sounded sexy.
I think that was the intention.
Yeah, even
they don't even have that many Vulcans
so,
on the ship.
Yeah, can a bunch of Vulcans get Pond Far together?
They don't even have any Vulcans on the ship.
Do Vulcans get like? They don't. You're right. That's a good point.
You get aligned Pond Far, like the myth of women aligning their. Periods.
So when the Vulcans like get aligned Pond Far, does that mean they have some big orgy or something?
I would presume and hope so.
Maybe a small
so
orgy.
And is it culturally insensitive for non Vulcans to like have Pond Far parties?
It's appropriation.
Appropriation, that's the word.
Not if you're invited. Yeah. I don't think if you're invited. I think of course if you were not invited, if you were doing
but
some
I don't think they
out.
Have no. any there's no Vulcans on the Cerritos.
What if a human put together a Pond Far party and they invited one Vulcan? Would that be okay then? And
you
be like,
Vulcan,
look, I've got
a Vulcan
friend.
A Vulcan undergoing Pond Far?
It could be their Pond Far party.
Well, you'd have a Pond Far party with like 20 other humans and you'd invite one Vulcan so it wouldn't be, so you could say like, oh no, it's okay. We've got my Vulcan.
Vulcan.
I've got the Tolkien Vulcan. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you're describing something different. I was imagining
that sounds
Vulcans
like...
are going through Pond Far and to relieve their Pond Farness, they have a party. That is effectively an orgy. You're suggesting
what you're suggesting is
basically a white person idea.
When white people
are like, I'm gonna have like an Indian party,
when white college students want to have like a pimps and hoes party or yes. whatever, you know, it's like
man, gross. White people, come on, can we get our act together out there?
I doubt it.
It's tough, I know, but you got to do something about this. But this is ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's white.
And speaking of having sex fun, what do the whale ops party do? What do they do with all them fish? Do they eat them or do they fuck them?
The whale ops.
Fucking Christ.
Like in cetacean ops, they were talking about right. like.
Well, they're belugas.
What are they doing
they're
with
not,
all
they're
them
not
fish?
Dolphins. If they were dolphins,
we're not doing,
be more,
we're not doing
more
star
rapey.
Maps. We're having a party.
Belugas are like nice dolphins.
I think belugas
right?
are not so sexually aggressive as dolphins.
No, I'm sorry. I was thinking porpoises. Yeah. Are porpoises nice dolphins or are porpoises just as mean as dolphins?
I wouldn't trust
them. I'm not a cetacean biologist.
But like, a beluga is a whale.
What's her name from Star Trek?
So why are you comparing belugas to dolphins?
George and Gracie.
Why are you comparing...
They're like dolphin-y whales.
I'm not...
Dolphin-y whales.
I'm comparing them because I'm saying that my understanding is that these crew members in cetacean ops are belugas. They are not dolphins. All
so
I was
what are they partying with? What they said that we have unlimited fish here. Like what kind of parties are they having with them fish?
Because Ransom called one of them a whale anyway, like Matt the whale.
I think they're just... Just like eating chips, eating fish.
I thought they were having sex parties with him or something.
Okay, they might be.
And then the Tendi had the Semnusian. She was recommending because they didn't have any booze. She's like, we have some Semnusian root that if you want to be
which is like somnalius, somna. Somna is a prefix that references
sleep.
So
consciousness.
That was sort of
soporific.
That was a roundabout admission that they're
insomnia.
So that was a soporific. That was a roundabout admission that they weren't drinking because they wanted a delicious tasting drink and they wanted to socialize, they were drinking to zonk out is what they were doing. And she's like, we can't zonk out with booze. Well, we can zonk out with these sleeping pills, basically, you know? So that was a little bit of drug. Speaking of drug abuse episodes, that was a little bit more drug abuse.
Speaking of drug abuse. All right. Anything else?
But there was probably herbal.
Anything else? Jesse's done. Dan, any other things in your notes?
I'm ringing a bell, baby.
I'm done with my notes. I think we've covered all the main bits and pieces of this episode.
Oh, after a mariner flew away and Boimler said, "Orders, Captain," Freeman did a Picard maneuver. Did you notice that? She pulled down her tunic.
Oh,
Are they called chinics?
Tunic?
Are they chinics?
Her tunic?
Chinic?
Her chinic?
Chinic?
Did we say that again, Jesse?
Chinic.
All right. So
she did a chinic maneuver.
So next week we will be discussing the season finale.
Do we want to talk? We don't want to talk about like all the different Victoria. Oh, speaking of Victoria Nuzze, she mentioned all the different things that she had on record of Freeman of going wrong on the Cerritos.
Nah, it was all stuff that happened.
It was all stuff that we already knew.
We already saw it.
So next week we'll talk about the season finale. I do not know yet what it is called, but by next week we will know the name of the episode.
That will be exciting.
Next week. Star Trek Prodigy. Part two of season one.
Also comes back.
We haven't been covering Star Trek Prodigy directly, but we'll maybe cover some of it after the end of the break, second half of the first season. We'll maybe do like a season one wrap.
Season one wrap up or something
like that. But anyway, it's just going to be more of this nonsense next week.
Stardate 58496.1.
We hope that you come back next week at the next episode and enjoy it as much as we've enjoyed you.
I don't.
Dan does not care.
We've enjoyed them? How have we enjoyed them?
What, the audience?
Yeah.
We've enjoyed having the audience.
Well, yes, but I mean, we have.
Somebody's listening.
It's a lagging indicator, of course. You know, you put the show up, and then everyone's like, oh, download. Interact on Twitter, interact on Facebook, interact.
No, I enjoy the audience as well.
Those guys, they remind us of those people.
We would be nothing without our audience.
Yes.
Pretty much.
I mean, we'd be something. It would be a different thing.
Yeah.
It would just be us.
It would be silly.
Talking into the void.
What's this from? Even nothing is something. What is that from? That's from The Never-Ending Story.
Yeah. I thought it was from the mathematical principle that you can have nothing, but then you have a set, and then that set of one unit of nothing, it creates the number one.
No, that's not what I was talking about.
Oh, okay. Wouldn't it create the number zero?
No, because you have one set of zero of nothing, you know? So that's how you can derive the existence of one from a universe of nothing, because it's one set representing nothing, so that becomes the number one, and then from there you can extrapolate all the other numbers.
Zero is one of them weird numbers.
Okay, so in the meantime, if you'd like to get in contact with us,
there's
feedback at itsgotstartrek.com, but nobody uses that. What you really want to use is Twitter, at itsgotstartrek on Twitter, where we're the most active and have lots of fun with all the wonderful Star Trek Twitter peoples, and at least for the time being until Elon Musk shuts down the service or whatever, and then we'll have to move to something else. But we are also on Facebook, It's Got Star Trek. You can find us there, and we are on Instagram at It's Got Star Trek. You can also find us on YouTube. We have a large and growing audience on YouTube. Lots of people like watching a static image while listening to our podcast. I presume while doing some vacuuming or day drinking.
It's
something
a pleasing graphic.
Day drinking.
So,
you know, I just realized I don't know if I got that line correctly from Neverending Story.
That's quite all right. We'll drop it in the edit.
We'll talk about it next time.
Incorrect, because we got to shut this down. So we will talk to you next week. It's been a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
For me, the Cerritos is life. In the cave of Garanoga.
Oh, you poor thing. They make you live in a cave?
No. The Cerritos is like home to me. I have lived in a cave, though.